This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, welcome to Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. There's a saying that if you want to go against the norm, think Finnish innovation. They are ranked in the global top 10 in innovation despite having a very small number of population. So what exactly is the Finnish innovation, and does AI have a role in any of the way that they work and also the future of working life? Well, with me today is Dr. Marko Kesti. He's the CEO of Playgain from Finland. Dr. Marko, welcome to the show and also welcome to Malaysia. What brings you here?
Okay, yes, I'm here with our partners discussing about the future of AI and also collaboration. And I come from Finland, which is North Europe country.
And you're also part of the University of Lapland.
Yes, I'm from Lapland University. I'm a research professor there. And Lapland University is at the Arctic Pole. So it's the most north university in Europe.
Wow, is that like the fun fact that you throw around when you actually introduce to people that you're also from the University of Lapland? It's also the furthest north university in the world.
Yeah, it might be furthest, the northest in the world also, but we have Santa Claus comes from Lapland here.
Wow.
So we have Santa Claus village there and stuff like that. All for right. The tourists also.
Now, perhaps I guess we can start by just talking about the progress of AI, because that is your area of expertise.
Yes.
You know, over the number of years, we've been talking about how artificial intelligence is now a real thing. And, you know, soon it is going to take over our jobs and we're going through another revolution. When did this happen and why is this happening?
Oh, it doesn't take our jobs. It will inflourish our jobs. It makes time to do more valuable jobs, and it's coming. And it's, of course, it's evolution. It's evolutionary, so that it's little by little it comes and it will change everything.
But artificial intelligence has been around for, you know, in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken, since the 1960s has been around. That's why wasn't the conversation about it being taking over our jobs happened then, and why is it happening now?
Yeah, algorithms like Nash algorithms and those AI algorithms has been long time, but now we have a computer capacity and we have sensors, we have data. We have all that is needed to make AI help in every field.
And why did you started to venture into this field of artificial intelligence and learning about how it can actually, you know, empower you as a leader in a corporate world or even just as an individual? Why your interest in artificial intelligence?
That's an interesting question. It just started when we started to our research in management game theory, and we figured out that the game theory made this game theoretical approach for management, and we figured out that we can also implement artificial intelligence, because game theory and artificial intelligence they are nicely connected. Mm-hmm. So that way I became interested about artificial intelligence and the algorithms, and we have implemented those.
What year was this? Are we talking about here?
It was about 5 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago, about so. So relatively new issue.
Relatively new. However, in the past 4 years, there have been a lot of changes in the AI field. We see artificial intelligence like Google's AlphaGo beating the world's best human being player. It's beating humans in all these games. But yet, there are some arguments still that artificial intelligence is not there yet. It's still a narrow AI field. About it being taking our jobs is just a far-fetched dream. Is that also something that a reality?
Yes, what we have been doing, this research in human capital productivity, and we have created theories how intangible human assets can be implemented in this theory so that it's sort of well-being and workers' motivation is a production parameter. And we started to measure those things in the companies. And then we made the architecture so that we can simulate the management effect to the business profit and also to workers' well-being. And this way it opened the door to the artificial intelligence, because artificial intelligence needs a proper architecture so that you can rely on the architecture so that the AI will give you right advice. Because if you have wrong architecture, you will get wrong advice.
And then it's so, risky to the business.
It's risky to business. And that's why this artificial intelligence is not so much in the field of management, because it's so complex, because we are dealing about people and human beings.
And we're all different.
And we are all different, and every organization is different. It's a sort of Bayesian rules apply. So there are conditional rules that has to be included in the architecture.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you brought up that, you know, it's difficult because each and every one of us are unique and different, which I've been to the Scandinavian countries, Norway and Sweden specifically. I've not been to Finland yet, but from my understanding, there's a very different type of culture that happens in, you know, that part of the world. Could you just perhaps, you know, give us an example or an explanation of how is a Finnish working culture like? Because it must be very different from what we experience here.
Yeah, it's very different what we have here in Asia. But in northern countries, Norway, Sweden, Finland, it's quite similar. Although the history is very different. But in Finland, we have quite a lot of challenges in the working life and productivity. But the challenge is also a possibility, because we have to apply creativity and innovativeness, because we have, you can say, we have most expensive workforce.
Staff, why is that so?
Staff costs are so high.
Why so?
Because maybe I have to explain something about Finnish history. 100 years ago, we went independent and we have a civil war. Just after the independence, we had civil war. So we started from the zero. And from the zero level to most competitive country in 100 years. Finland is now one of the most competitive countries. And because we have so high education system. In Finland, we start the education basically from the 1 year old in kindergarten. We start to explaining the kids how the world works and how to utilize your brains.
From 1 year old?
From 1 year old, yes. My wife is a kindergarten teacher. And we have in the kindergarten, we have university level teachers, and they teach the kids how to use their brains and how the world works.
Wow.
And then they go to school and finally graduate something like 16 to 18 year old, and then they go to applied sciences school or university, and then they graduate. And this schooling is free for everyone. So this is very expensive. We invest very big money to the intelligence and education, creativity, but it's very costly. And that's why we have to have high tax rates. We have high tax rates. We invest to the children, and also we take care of our old people, elderly people. We have a pension system that is regulated so that every company pays for every worker's pension.
And that must
during
be...
the years. And that's why we have very high staff costs.
Right, okay. And it's difficult for companies then to be able to afford, you know, a large number of staff. So how is it like in that kind of environment?
And one thing I need to also explain that we have very small working time. So that comparing to Singapore, which is the same size inhabitants.
When you say working time, is in the working time, hours itself,
working
hours, in the day?
Yeah.
Because there's not enough daylight?
I know, it just has come there in Finland that we have this very short working time. In the theoretical yearly working time is 1,850 hours, so it's normal 7.5 hours a day. But for example, in Singapore, the theoretical yearly working time is something like 2,250 hours. But with that small amount of hours we spend at work, we also have high holidays. We have 5 weeks holidays, mm-hmm. and they're paid.
Oh, wow.
That's why we Finns travel a lot, because we have we have the money and we have the holidays. We have time to go around, and that boosts our innovativeness, because you get influence from all around the world, and we can utilize the innovativeness and creativity. That's why we have very good business in many different areas in Finland.
I'm speaking to Dr. Marko Kesti, the CEO of Playgen and also the research director at the University of Lapland in Finland, talking about innovation. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about how to think innovatively. BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and my guest for today is Dr. Marko Kesti. He's the CEO of Playgen and also the research director at the University of Lapland in Finland. And we're talking about innovation in the Finnish way and how AI is changing the way of working life. Dr. Marko, I guess there is truly something unique about the Finnish innovation. What is it about innovation that is crucial to be taught to kids and to young adults, and how is this being done in Finland?
I think in Finland it's quite nicely achieved the situation that we have very effective working time. We utilize the innovativeness to make our work very smooth and very effective. But also we have innovations to improve the products, improve the customer service, and utilize the digital technology. And digital technology we can use so that we don't need so much working hours, because the working hours is very scarce to us. So we utilize innovativeness to make it effective. And that's very important.
You also recently did a research on how to measure the quality of working life.
Yes, the quality of working life is a production parameter. Sort of in our scientific world, it's a production parameter. We measure quality of working life from the employees. So employees' opinions, they signals how they feel and what should be improved. It is very important. And we measure it in a new way so that we utilize motivation theoretical approach, because the old-fashioned type to measure staff opinions and well-being is using statistics, linear statistics. And human beings, they are not linear statistics. They are Bayesian rules they apply, and motivation theory. Motivation theory is very good theoretical foundation to analyze how quality of working life is transferred to production parameter. And this quality of working life, it includes the self-esteem categories. There is a physical and emotional safety that is a hygiene factor. If it's not in order, it will reduce the performance totally. But if it is in good shape, then you don't notice it at all. It's so it must be thing. And then there is this collaboration and identity, the team spirit at the work. If you have good team spirit there in the work, and if your work is appreciated and you can use your knowledge there, and there is processes and stuff like that, then you will increase the performance. But if those are not in order, it will reduce the performance. And then finally, there is this third self-esteem category, which is the innovativeness and creativity. If you can utilize personal creativity and innovativeness, it will give them the higher motivation and it will boost the performance a whole lot.
How do you rate, you mentioned about emotional, how do you measure when it comes to the emotional satisfaction of you know, working life? Because it varies, like you mentioned, every individual is different.
Yeah, it varies. And now, right now, we are measuring it with continuous staff survey, but not with lots of questions, but only a small amount of questions, like, for example, 6 questions per month. We can measure this quality of working life and the self-esteem categories. Mm. And the self-esteem we can improve with good leadership practices. And this way it makes sort of an Bayesian game inside the working team.
Right.
So every profit center manager is playing the management game that is Bayesian, stochastic, strategic, non-symmetric signaling game. It's a game theoretical approach.
Hmm. And is this game called Playgain, which you established in March 2015?
Yes, this Playgain has made this, it's a spin-off company from my research, and it has made the simulation game, sort of a digital twin from the organization. We utilize all the data that we get from the organization and we put the data to the simulation and it produces a digital twin. And every leader can have own digital twin in the digital world. They can practice their leadership, they can simulate, and they can ask artificial intelligence help. They can ask, what should I do in this situation? What management practices should I implement? Should I learn something more about the management? And artificial intelligence will simulate in this digital world. It will simulate to the future and see the future reward and then advise the leader. So you can imagine the effect when every leader in the company has own sparring partner, advisor, and this advisor is the world's best manager, artificial intelligence.
And that's how, you know, you use that data, and it's a continuous data that will keep changing because you are continuously, you know, innovating.
Yes.
In that space, right?
Yes.
You also mentioned about how, you know, Playgain uses the data and the research that you've gathered. What were some of the interesting insights that you had from that research that you felt like this is the best way to showcase this was in a game like Playgain?
Yeah, we have noticed in this simulation game and also in our studies in university, we have noticed that the leaders, they have several cognitive biases which prevent them to perform well in their management. And that is a tricky question because those cognitive biases, they are so difficult to unlearn that the traditional training methods doesn't work.
Mm.
And that's why we need the simulation learning. And we are going to have a simulation workshop here in Malaysia in 28th of May with the Invictus leader and our partners, and they will show how it affects to the leadership and how these cognitive biases can be unlearned with the simulation practice.
Unlearn, it seems like a very tough word for a lot of people to actually sort of comprehend and do.
Yes, right? Yes, it is.
How do we go about implementing AI in our workforce development if an organization is looking at ways how it can boost productivity, can boost efficiency, because that is what AI is supposed to do instead of taking our jobs? Where do they even start to do something like this?
I think a good way to start is with robotic process automation. For example, the leaders, they are very, very stressed and they have very tight schedule time. The RPA can help to give time to spend with the team members and produce and make the team flourish, because the leaders, they have so much this operational work that is going on all the time. So they need the robotics automation to make the process fluid so that they don't need to spend time with the computer. They can spend time with the team members and the work.
Dr. Marco, before we leave, we're sort of running out of time, but before we leave, what can we do to empower ourselves for the future? Because we all can't be data scientists and AI researchers and you know, chief data officers in our jobs, because then we'll just have too many of those. But what can we do to empower ourselves to prepare for this future that is arriving already with, you know, the bound of AI coming into our workplaces?
Yeah, we have to make the data available. And one thing to start to have impact in the productivity is to measure in the quality of working life. It will open the manager's mind to see the potential in the people power to make more profit. And when you can make more profit, you start to invest. And when you get the data, you can implement artificial intelligence.
And the key of that is to also unlearn, you know, what we've known.
Cognitive biases that are preventing.
And that is the first step to, you know, achieving this dream that we have.
Yes, that's right.
Dr. Marco, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Marco Kesti, the CEO of Playgain from Finland and also the research director at the University of Lapland, talking about innovation and the changes in the quality of working life. Download the podcast if you missed any parts of this show. You can get it at bfm.my or get the BFM app. My name is Jeff Sandhu and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.